June 21st. Our reading in the Old Testament today is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and going through chapter 2, verse 25. What kind of man was it is a key question. The messengers described Elijah's physical appearance, but they left out the most important thing. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but he was also a man of God. The physical description in verse 8 is incidental, yet that is what most people emphasize in their lives. He was guided by the Lord. Elijah knew what was happening because he listened to God's voice. We today do not hear an audible voice, but we have His Spirit within us, and His Word goes before us. He glorified God. The very idea of the king going to a false god for help. Elijah wanted Ahaziah to know that Jehovah alone was the true God, and that the king had better bow humbly before the Lord. And he trusted the Lord to care for him. Elijah was one man against 51 soldiers, but the Lord protected him and gave him victory. Had the soldiers completely forgotten the fire that came down on Mount Carmel? The third captain humbled himself, and God spared him and his company. And he did the Lord's will. He delivered the message to the king as he was commanded to do. Can God's people today be men and women of God with integrity? Certainly can. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. June 21st, the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 25. After King Ahab's death, the land of Moab rebelled against Israel. One day, Israel's new king, Ahaziah, fell through the latticework of an upper room at his palace in Samaria and was seriously injured. So he sent messengers to the temple of Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether he would recover. But the angel of the Lord told Elijah, who was from Tishbe, "Go and confront the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is there no God in Israel? Why are you going to Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether the king will recover? Now, therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die.' So Elijah went to deliver the message. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, 'Why have you returned so soon?' They replied, 'A man came up to us and told us to go back to the king and give him this message. This is what the Lord says. Is there no God in Israel? Why are you sending men to Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether you will recover? Therefore, because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die.' 'What sort of man was he?' the king demanded. 'What did he look like?' They replied, 'He was a hairy man, and he wore a leather belt around his waist.' 'Elijah from Tishbe,' the king exclaimed. Then he sent an army captain with 50 soldiers to arrest him. They found him sitting on top of a hill. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, the king has commanded you to come down with us.' But Elijah replied to the captain, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men.' Then fire fell from heaven and killed them all. So the king sent another captain with 50 men. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, the king demands that you come down at once.' Elijah replied, 'If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men.' And again the fire of God fell from heaven and killed them all. Once more the king sent a third captain with 50 men. But this time the captain went up the hill and fell to his knees before Elijah. He pleaded with him, 'O man of God, please spare my life and the lives of these, your 50 servants. See how the fire from heaven came down and destroyed the first two groups? But now please spare my life.' Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him and don't be afraid of him.' So Elijah got up and went with him to the king. And Elijah said to the king, 'This is what the Lord says. Why did you send messengers to Baal Zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether you will recover? Is there no God in Israel to answer your question? Therefore, because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die. So Ahaziah died, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Since Ahaziah did not have a son to succeed him, his brother Joram became the next king. This took place in the second year of the reign of Jeroham, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The rest of the events in Ahaziah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request, but if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Sir," they said, "just say the word, and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha said, "don't send them." But they kept urging him until they shamed him into agreeing, and he finally said, "All right, send them." So 50 men searched for 3 days, but did not find Elijah. Elisha was still at Jericho when they returned. "Didn't I tell you not to go?" he asked. One day the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. "We have a problem, my lord," they told him. "This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see, but the water is bad, and the land is unproductive." Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl with salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water, and threw the salt into it. And he said, "This is what the Lord says, I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility." And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elisha said. Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. "Go away, Baldy," they chanted. "Go away, Baldy." Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel and finally returned to Samaria. And now we look toward the New Testament, and our reading today will be from the book of Acts, chapter 13, beginning at verse 42, and going through chapter 14, verse 7. Paul was a man on the move, but not a man easily moved because of difficulties. "But none of these things move me," was his testimony of faith, and he lived it. When he and Barnabas were expelled from Antioch in Pisidia, well, they just shook off the dust of their feet and went to Iconium. When the people there tried to stone them, they went to Lystra, where they were treated like gods. That was a greater danger than even the persecution when you think about it. See, crowds are very fickle. They changed their minds and stoned Paul, but he just got up and went to another place, this time to Derbe. That was not all. Paul and Barnabas had the courage to retrace their steps so they could help and encourage the new Christians. And when they returned home, they told the church what the Lord had done, not what they had suffered. Paul and Barnabas put Christ first, others second, and themselves last. They had a job to do, and they were determined by God's grace to do it. How much does it take to move you out of the will of God? It was David Sarnoff who wrote, "The will is to persevere." It was David Sarnoff that wrote, "The will to persevere is often the difference between failure and success." And now let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. June 21st, the New Testament. Acts chapter 13, verse 42. Through chapter 14, verse 7. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, and the two men urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, "It was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message, and all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews, and some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area, and there they preached the good news. Today we'll be reading a very famous psalm, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 24. If you're faithful to the Lord, this psalm will encourage you. If you're trying to hide from the Lord, this psalm will make you realize you're fighting a losing battle. He knows what you do. He knows you personally and intimately. So don't try to fool him. Be open and honest with God and just rest in his love. His eye is upon you, and you have nothing to fear. He knows where you go. What a comfort to know that God is with you and he cares for you. Whether you go up or down or east or west, he is there. Sinners try to hide from God, but believers hide in God. Big difference. He knows what you are. I mean, after all, he made you. He planned your potential and ordered your days. This is not some kind of blind fatalism that paralyzes you. It is the wise plan of a loving father who knows what is best for you. Accept what you are as his gift to you, and then use it wisely as your gift to him, because you are unique. God made you that way. He knows what you think. The psalmist pondered the thoughts of God, and in this way cultivated the presence of God in his life. And he knows what you love. Take these words to heart. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Love not the world. And he knows what you desire. You see, you do not know your own heart as well as you may think you do. Let God search you and deal with the things that make you anxious. Let him lead you. He knows where you ought to go. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 24, for the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God! They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Proverbs 17, verses 19 through 21. Anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. Anyone who trusts in high walls invites disaster. The crooked heart will not prosper. The lying tongue tumbles into trouble. It is painful to be the parent of a fool. There is no joy for the father of a rebel.